As you can hear from all the readings today, inheritance, mortality, all of that is combined, right? The first reading was about how, oh, I've worked all my life, I've done all this hard work, and now I'm going to have to give it up to who knows who, some chucklehead who's going to not be as worthy as I am for having this stuff, right? Or, and also in the psalm, right? It, even those who are rich, even those who are good, even those who are wise, is going to die. And their stuff is going to go to somebody else. And then here in the parable, here's this guy, someone from the crowd says, and it must be a man because this is, they're the only ones who got inheritance back then. Sorry about that. Tell my brother to split the family inheritance with me. This is really an important thing. I mean, if you read through Scripture, inheritance is hugely important. Remember Abraham, he didn't have anybody that would inherit his stuff. So who was going to get it? His buddy, Eleazar, not any of his family, because he didn't have any family left. God said, no, he's not going to be the heir. There's going to be an heir. You're going to have a son. Right? Remember the story of Jacob and Esau, right? Who's going to get the blessing of the inheritance? Esau was supposed to get it. Jacob dressed up like Esau to poor blind Isaac and fooled them and got the inheritance. Inheritance is really, really important. It's part of the whole story, the whole biblical story. So we have to keep that in mind when this guy says, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. This is right at the heart of things. But Jesus seems to think, nah, not so much. You know, who made me judge and arbitrator over you? Not my job. But be aware. Be aware of all kinds of greed, he says to them. And there are all kinds of greed. I had the great example of having some greed yesterday. I was out working on my fence, trying to water seal the paint, the fence again, and I was up to here in water seal, and this woman who is a fairly regular person comes and asks for money for gas, and I'm like, oh, sheesh, I got to get this fence. I told her, you know, right now I don't have any cash on me. I don't have any money in my discretionary fund right now, so I can't really help you right now. But this woman, unfortunately, must have read last Sunday's text about asking shamelessly. Doggone it. She says to me, well, couldn't you just go with me to the Shell station and use your credit card? And I was like, I said, I would have been happy to have given her money for her gas and to go with her to the Shell station. But like I said, I'm up to my elbows in this water seal and in my project, and so I was being greedy with my time. And I said, no, I'm in the middle of a project. I'm not going to do that. And she stands there and she says, well, is there anything you can do? And I said, be greedy? The end of that story later. So Jesus weaves this parable. And the man has this amazing crop. This is a huge crop. One of my favorite interpreters of parables is Brandon Scott. And he calls this parable, How to Mismanage a Miracle. Isn't that great? The crop that this guy gets is miraculous. It's a huge thing. It's going to keep him in money for the rest of his life. He's going to be able to retire. He's going to be able to relax, eat, drink, and be merry. So, and he talks about how he's going to have to build barns big enough to hold all this stuff. It's like this guy is making a memorial, a monument to his own greed. And notice in the whole story, Jesus is the narrator of the story, and this guy usurps the narrator's part. He says, what will I do? I know what I will do. I will say to my soul, soul? This is great stuff. This is great storytelling. This guy is taking over the story that Jesus is trying to tell. which is the entire point. Right? This guy's taking it over. And he's got this miraculous growth. He's got all of this crop. He's going to put it in bigger barns. Now, there are many things this guy could have done. He could have said, this is an amazing harvest. You know what I'll do? I'm going to give my farmhands a huge bonus. They worked so hard to get this harvest out in. And look at it. It's great. I'm going to give them a bonus. Or maybe he could have said, you know, there was a guy, and he lent me money a couple years ago. I remember that very well. When I was in a bad way, he lent me money, and I paid him back. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him double back again what he lent me. Because he's a generous spirit, and maybe he can give that money to somebody else. Or he could have said, you know, there's a widow in town. We don't get along very well. But she's needing help. She would never in a million years take help from me, but I got it. I'm going to ask a buddy of hers to give her this money. And don't tell her who it's from, because she won't take it. But I got plenty. I can give it away. There's any number of things that this guy could have thought. That's not what he thought. He thought, I know what I will do. I will build bigger barns, and I will have everything I need. I need. Well, the thing is, miracles aren't for you individually. No miracle is just for you. Every miracle that happens is for the sake of the community. Think back on all of the miracles that happened. Jesus feeding the 5,000 men, it's to get everybody fed, right? Even some people who are healed. The guy who, the Gerasene demoniac, right? He's healed. He's exercised. The demons are gone. And he says, can I come with you to Jesus? And Jesus says, no, but tell everyone what God has done for you. That's the point of the miracle. It's not for us to hold on to the miracle. It's not for us to hoard the miracle. It's for us to tell people what God has done for us. To share it. To share our wealth. To share our possessions. To share all of the blessings that God has given us. That's what it's for. And this poor guy has mismanaged it. And the end of the parable is, oh, you foolish person. It's actually you unthinking person, is what the Greek says. You unthinking person. You're mortal. You're going to die. In fact, tonight. And this isn't God saying, I'm going to kill you. This is just, your time is up. What is all that stuff in your barns going to do for you now? And then Jesus says, and so it is with those, right, who are rich in possessions and not rich toward God. So greed, there's all kinds of it, and it's everywhere. We're all kind of in some way guilty of it. You know, sometimes I wish Jesus would have read Greed is Good. You know, these books that have come out over the last 20 or 30 years, right? Greed helps the economy, right? And it's good for us. And it gives everybody a job and blah, 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 all of that nonsense. Jesus never read that stuff. Mm-hmm. Beware of all kinds of greed is what he says. But just like that whole list that that Greg read from St. Paul this morning, there's all of these sins and all of those things, and greed today is what we are, is that thing from which we are being delivered. And God is delivering us from this by offering us all kinds of opportunities. So, and examples. So, one of my favorite examples is Ed Younger, guy in our congregation back when I was growing up, who I never really liked, frankly. He was just too joyful for me. You know? He just loved Jesus and he was so joyful all the time. And I was like, I don't know about that. Kind of ethereal, maybe, is what I kind of thought of him. So there came a time when it was my second year in college, and my father's business had gone in the tank, and it was, and he was going to needed to tell me that I wasn't going to be able to pay my tuition for the next year. So it's summertime, and he's waiting to tell me, and there's no money, and he's for let alone for college to pay payroll even, right? And one night there's a knock on our door. And Ed Younger is standing at the front door. My dad says, come on in. And Ed Younger says, hands my dad an envelope. He says, my wife and I were in prayer, and the Holy Spirit told me to give this to you. I have no idea why. Hands him an envelope. Turns around and walks out the door. My dad opens the envelope. It's a check for $10,000 in 1978. Can you imagine? And my dad, who is proud and is, you know, he's struggling, and but because Ed Younger said this is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit told me to do this. My father received it and kept it. And that has always been a touchstone of his life. That miracle, right? Well, first of all, Ed Younger's abundance, he knew wasn't just for him. And then, but it was to share. And so he shared it, and our family benefited from it. But that's not even the only reason that happened. Part of that reason that it happened is so that you all could hear that story today and understand that, you know, that joy that I thought Ed Younger was just, I was a little skeptical of? Nah, he knew the secret. Richness toward God. He knew how to manage his miracle. He knew how to manage his abundance. And the way he did it was to pray and to obey. You want me to do that with that? Sure. I don't understand why. Here's a check. Handing it over. Beautiful. Just a beautiful example of how we are being delivered from greed. By this example of this great joy, this great love that is available to us, that God infuses into us and then says, now, go, use that. Enjoy it. That's where the joy of life is. And I know a lot of people in here who have given me money for stuff in their abundance. Somebody's in need? Sure, let me write you a check. Okay, yeah, here, take it. There's joy in this. That poor guy in the parable, he never got to enjoy that wealth. He thought he was going to enjoy it by hoarding it by himself. But what he really would have enjoyed is giving it away. That's what he would have. That's the one sad part of this parable. The poor guy didn't get to enjoy. He was not delivered from his greed. But we are. And Christ gives us examples and all the time opportunities. So let's go back. I'm elbow deep in this water seal stuff. And here's the woman, and she keeps asking, and she keeps asking, and she's got all these great ideas about how to do it. Finally, I say to myself, self? She's not leaving until she gets something. So I'm thinking, okay, I think I have a couple of dollars, maybe $2 in my little jar where there's a bunch of coins. And I said, I'm going to, all right, okay, just a minute. I'll wash up and I'll go inside and I'll see what's there. So I washed up, went in, grabbed $2. And under the $2,
was a $20 bill. A lovely $20 bill. Which it may have been there for like 2 months, or it may have been there for 2 minutes. I don't remember putting it there. And nobody else puts money in my jar. Not at home anyway. And there it was. And so I grabbed it and I was like, all right, this is great. And I took it out to her and I said, look what I found. I said, Dios es grande. And she said, sí, Dios es grande. God is great. Yes, God is great. Found this. Here. Go in peace. And she said, gracias, Padre. Thank you, Father. She always calls me Father. Thank you, Father. And off she goes. She's not the point of the story, though. I mean, yeah, in part. But the real point of the story is I felt so much lighter and so much joy when I saw that $20 bill. It was like, woohoo! This is great! I can't believe it! That's the joy. And that joy that is from God is what delivers us from our greed, from all of the sin which we are caught in. We are being delivered from our greed. And we are being delivered in all these delightful ways. Tell those stories. Share those stories. Enter into those stories. That is how we are being delivered. And those are the riches towards God.